Feel like it's come time to preach tonight. Good to have Brother Lindsay with us, and you pray for him as we share our heart with our church tonight. I appreciate the Lord. You know, I've done a lot of things I'm ashamed of tonight.
And we all.
I'm sure I'm not the only man in the house that's got some scars on him that he wished he didn't have.
Isn't that the truth? Yes, sir.
But in 1981, I got born again.
Amen.
I didn't hunt the dope peddler long. Didn't stop by the liquor store again. God began to do a work in my life. Brother Larry, I bless the day. Boy, it's miserable for something to have a hope of you that you can't get away from. I was doing things that I didn't want to be doing, but it had a hold of me. But I'm glad an old man come by my trailer one Saturday. Told me about the love of Jesus. I don't remember a lot after that. I know he arrested me of my sins. I'd have walked from here to Birmingham if he'd have saved me. But I didn't have to do that. He said, just come. Now, no wise cast you out. God, I'm glad that still goes out tonight.
Amen.
I don't care what you've done, how long you've been doing it. The blood of Jesus can wash you clean tonight. You pray for our preacher as he preaches this.
Thank you, preacher. It's good to be here. I love you, preacher. He's my friend. I love my kids. I guess I'd just about listen to them boys sing as about anybody. And then my second favorite singer here tonight, Brother Carl. I promise you, Brother Carl, that song about the shower is a blessing. You can rest assured I'll listen to that a many a time and shout her out. Y'all may not be there to listen, but I promise you, by the good grace of God, we'll shout her out. Me and John work together. John will have to listen to me while I shout. I never have got him to shout with me. But I'm still working on it. Amen. I appreciate all that church has done, allowing us to come, allowing us to be here. I feel so honored. I do. You know, it's always hard to know what to preach. It really is. That meant that I was crying out, God, give me something. I got to preach tonight. Give me something. Now it means, Lord, what in the world? Which one? Where at? Because your old heart, you understand, when God starts becoming real to you, your old heart gets to be filling up. And the more I live, the more I am aware of exactly the things that God has done to forgive me and to make me usable and pliable and mold me. And the more I realize where He's taken me, the fuller I get and the harder it is to preach. It really is. If you will, turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Chronicles in chapter number 13. And I pray to God that I'm preaching where He wants me to tonight. 1 Chronicles in chapter number 13. I guess this is it because I don't have nothing else. And Y'all prayed I'll get down to where I need to get bogged down, because I got a couple sermons I preach out of here, and I don't want to go the wrong way. I want to go the way God wants. So you pray that I'll get to where I need to be. Reading in 1 Chronicles chapter number 13, Bible says, "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so. For the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt even unto the entering of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Bela, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of the God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart, and David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with singing and with harps, psalteries and with timbrels and cymbals and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had." Let's bow our hearts together for prayer. Our dear Father, Lord, we ask the Holy Ghost of God to come into our midst tonight. God, that you'd take these faltering lips, stammering tongue. Lord, you'd bring a message to our hearts that would lift the saints, convict the sinners. Lord, build us up in the most holy faith. God, I rely, I ask for your help tonight in this hour. We ask in your name and for your sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I've read in our ears tonight the story how that the ark of Israel was out of place. Let me lay kind of a foundation and then I'll get to my message. And I hope I'm not as long as I was last night. But the story is, if you go back to 1 Samuel, you remember how that the Israelites were at war with the Philistines. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, went into the temple, into the tabernacle. They got the ark and they brought it to the battle. And the Israelites began to shout because of the ark. You remember how that the Philistines won the battle and captured the ark. They took it back home to their city. And they put the ark in the in their god. Can't remember his name. Yes, Dagon, thank you. Just left me. They put the ark in their god Dagon's house. You remember how that God pushed Dagon over and he bowed to the ark. They popped their god up again. The next night God broke their god all to pieces. And you remember the story how that those Philistines took the ark of God after God began to smite them with disease. And they said, we've got to get rid of this. And they got two milk cows, tied the calves in the barn, loaded the ark of God upon the cart. And those milk cows took out a load for Israel and Judah. They came to a man's house by the name of Abinadab. You remember the story how that they parked the ark in the house of Abinadab. That was 20 years before what we read tonight. For 20 years, the ark of God was out of place. Boy, that's a sermon in itself. There's a verse that I'd call to your attention in verse number 3. Let us bring again the ark of our God to us. And this is a terrible testimony. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. Now let me remind you about King Saul's reign in Israel. It was one of jealousy. It was one of trouble. It was one of envy. It was one of a lot of fighting. Not only were they fighting the Philistines, they were chasing David. There was trouble on every side. There was deceit. There was trickery. Why? When you and I begin to live our lives outside the presence of God, the only way we can live is deceitful, trickery, deception, and do it our own way. And we get to where we work in the realm of envy and jealousy. You know there's churches all over America that operate that way. Why? Because God was out of place in the land. If we need anything in this day and age which we live, we need God back where He needs to be. That's the only hope we have. Let me go on. Here, David's come. Now, it's interesting to me, the first part of this chapter 13. In the first part of this chapter, David said, let us go bring our God home to us. You get down to the end of the chapter after God showed up and said, I'm angry, I'm displeased. And all of a sudden, the pronouns change. And David says, oh, me. You understand when God comes to where you're at and you're not quite right, it gets real personal real fast. See, I have a problem. I like to hide in the crowd. Of course, when you get big like me, it's hard to hide in the crowd. But you know that's your problem and my problem. We want to hide in the crowd. That's why them, they, those, and all that are always causing problems in the church. If you get where you don't like your preacher, you ought to stand up and say, "Preacher, I don't like you." But you know what your problem is? You're just like me. You are a coward. And so you will say, "We..." I believe that's in that chapter, Brother Carl. Boy, that just came out. That ain't even in my notes. My soul. Here, David's come down there and he said, "We're going to take God back to its proper..." And do you know that was the right thing to do? David is doing the right thing. He is seeking for what's missing. First time I ever heard your preacher preach. Never will forget it. He preached on the missing ingredient. Yes, sir. David knew something was amiss. "We need God," he said. "I know where He's at. Let's go get Him." But yo, we have a problem. God is a lot bigger. God is a lot more holy. God is out of our league. You better be careful how you go running up to God. Reason the Holy Ghost don't come to our church? Because we made Him so offended. He wouldn't come. He don't feel welcome. I don't care what kind of drama team you have. I don't care what kind of praise team you have. I don't care how many songs you sing. I don't care what kind of Bible you got. Until you get to where you've got a working relationship with the Holy Ghost. David said, "We need God." There's just one problem. David went to get God just like the Philistines had God. That's not what I'm going to preach about. Oh, but that'll preach. You can't get God the same way the world. You'll never get Him. David found that out. Here they went down there to Abinadab's house. Abinadab said, "Yeah, I got two boys. Us in Ohio, we've lived here 20 years. The ark's been right there. We'll load her on the cart and we'll take her back to town." David said, "Well, I got all the procession, I got all the singers, got everything in line. Let's load her up and go." They started blowing the trumpets and playing the cymbals. They started singing with all their heart, with all their might. They're coming up the road. They went to where God was, loaded God up on their cart. And they're coming back home with God. I'm working on me a message. I was telling the preacher about it on Walking in the Light. I'll just tell you this little part. Moses is a good example of walking in the light. First time Moses ever saw the light, I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about your walk with the Holy Ghost. First time Moses ever come across the light, he is in the backside of a desert, and there's a bush, a burning. That's what it looked like to the natural man. Moses said, "I'm going to turn aside." You know, a lot of people look at God from the natural viewpoint, and they're going to turn aside and go look at Him. Moses went over and said, I ain't never seen nothing. It's not consumed. About that time, God said, Moses, you don't know how to act around the light. Take your shoes off. Here we find Israel. And this is a long time after Moses. After Moses gave the instruction, he said, you get you some priests. You anoint them. You sanctify them. Yeah. You get them staves. You run it through them rings. You put that on your shoulder. You walk with God. No. They put God up on a cart. There's a riding God down the road. Don't that sound ridiculous? I'm trying not to get bogged down. Here they come down the road. I'm preaching my other sermon now. Here they got the oxen, the new cart. They got it dressed up the best they can. Uzzah and Ho, they've lived there. Abinadab's son, they have lived there. Can't you see a Ho up on that cart? Sitting up on the seat. God's in the back. Anytime we elevate ourselves above God, we're in trouble. About that time, Almighty God knocked the legs out from under an ox, and he went down. That cart went down. You know why the cart went down in the front? God said, you ain't bigger than me. And there went that ark. About that time, God said, she's going to fall. Whew. God said, Bible says, down in that chapter, Bible says, and God caused a breach upon Uzzah that day. You know what that means? God, in His power, in His majesty, in His jealousy for His being, and cut Him in two. Now we got a problem. We got God's people going after God's presence to bring it back to God's place. And God's mad. David said, what am I going to do? Somebody said, there's a house down yonder. He said, go down and see who lives down there. They went down there and knocked on the door. Mr. Obed-Edom came to the door. Yes, sir. Mr. Obed-Edom, we got a problem up on the road. We got to have some help. We got a man dead in the road. Don't know how it happened, but something came by that we wasn't expecting and cut him in two. There's blood everywhere. You understand when you get around God, you're going to get around blood. It'll either be the blood of His Son or your blood. You can't get around God without getting around blood. Mr. Obed-Edom, we got a problem up on the road. The king of Israel wants to talk to you. Let me get my shoes on. I'll be up there in a minute. Here he comes up the road. Sure enough, there's that man laying cut in two, pieces everywhere, blood everywhere. Everything stopped. All the music stopped. All the shouting stopped. All the singing stopped. Everybody's standing with their tongue hanging out, their mouth hanging open. Everybody's done drawn back. Scared to death. And rightly so. See, my problem and your problem, I ain't smart enough to be scared of God. Mr. Obed-Edom, David said, Mr. Obed-Edom, we don't know what to do. We need to put this box at your house till we can figure it out. Now, you'll allow me just a little bit of room. It'll pan out in the end. Just bear with me. Mr. Obed, I'm preaching in the white section. It'll be all right. I'll come back. Mr. Obed-Edom said, Mr. David, it's a serious situation. I need to go down to the house just a minute. I'll be right back. Mr. Obed-Edom walked back down the house. He said, Mama Obed-Edom! He had 8 boys in the house. Started calling them by name. Y'all come with me. They want to put something down here, but you need to go see what's up there. So you'll know how to act down here. Them boys, like single line, come up that road. Walking up there to that gate at the road. Mama Obed-Edom with him. He said, now boys, this is the king. This is God's box. They're going to bring that down to the house. But I want you to look at that man. Or what's left of him. Right there. All right, boys, y'all going back to the house. Mr. Obed-Edom said, Mr. King, bring her on down to the house. Very tenderly, very carefully, them men picked that box up off of that cart and brought her down to Obed-Edom's house. Mr. Obed-Edom said, put over in the living room. Right there. We'd clear out a place for it. Most of us would have to clear out a place too.
Yeah. Right. You're right.
Mr. Obed-Edom said, put it right over there. Mr. King, I promise you we'll take good care of this. David said, I'll be back just as soon as I figure out what to do. Now the Bible says that God blessed Obed-Edom and all that he had.
Yes, sir.
Could I tell you that when God moves into your house, you can rest assured. It'll be different. God's blessings will come. It'll change. There'll be something there that wasn't there before. It'll make a difference. Oh, yeah. Put it right over there. David went on back to Jerusalem. Doing all his stuff. Bible says for three months, 90 days, for 3 months, the ark was at Obed-Edom's house. I want to preach just for a minute. 90 days in the presence of God. 90 days in the presence of God. I am convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt, if you ever want to be different at your house, for 90 days, you turn off everything. You shut down everything. You put everything in the yard and put God first place in your house. All it'll take is about 90 days and you'll never be the same. My problem is I ain't got that kind of time. In 90 days I'd be starved to death. I've got to work. I've got to carry on.
Come on, brother.
I can't live without the TV that long. I've got to have my paper. God help us. I got to get on Facebook. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
I mean, we're so addicted to it now. We get a little phone carried around so we can do it that way. And we act like everything's all right. We'd rather have a stinking computer than God. I know what I'm talking about. I used to have one. It got me in a world of trouble. More trouble than I'd care to even talk to you about. Oh, I want God. Mr. Obed-Edom, what you got in your house? God came by my house. That's what. Look back here in that verse. Help me out, Caleb. What's that verse where it says that God put his name there? It's in the first part of that chapter. Verse 6. Help me out. I can't read it. I can't read it. Read it. Talk out loud. What does it say?
His name was called on it.
Yeah. God's name was called on this box. The place where the cherubims were. You got the mercy seat. You got one angel on this side. One angel on this side. And it's the wings almost touch. And it's the place where the glory came down. That's that box. Oh, let me tell you something about Obed-Edom. He's a Gittite. You know what that means? He's from Gath. You know where Gath is? Gath is where Goliath was from. Gath means he is an outsider. Gath means he is sojourning in the land. That didn't belong to him. Gath means he was a foreigner to the commonwealth of Israel. All of a sudden, here God shows up at a Gentile's house. And God began to bless a Gentile and all that he had. Glory to God. And all that he had. Obed-Edom said, "My soul, I don't know much, but I know what I had ain't like this. I don't want no more what I had." Woo! Yeah, glory to God. I like what I've got. That's what he said. Obed-Edom, he found that box. That box was a box of conviction. Can you imagine what it must have been like before God moved in the house? Obed-Edom be out working, he'd come in the house. Hey woman, what you got to cook? I'm hungry, I've worked in the field all day. I'm tired, I want it now. Now he comes in. He starts out. Says, old habit's hard to break. He starts out, hey woman, about the time, out of the corner of his eye. You'd do well. You'd do well to get you a Bible and put it everywhere in your house. Just so you can see it. It'll curb your tongue. It'll curb your action. You need to put one on your computer. You need to put one on your TV. You need to put one at the refrigerator. You need to put one everywhere in your house. About that time, Obed-Edom got a corny day. He'd say, Mama, I'm hungry. Whatever you got, be the best there ever was. Them boys come running up in the house. Fussing, you know how boys are. Fussing and fighting and carrying on like boys. They'd be skidding through the living room headed to the kitchen about that time. Son, them boys, they remembered that road up there. Ain't no roughhousing in this room. We'll carry our problems outside. We're going to be careful around that box. Can you imagine them little old boys? You see, the reason your kids act like hellions, you ain't got no God in your house. Yeah, that's the truth. Absolutely. I like it. That's the truth. Not only was there conviction in the box, there's conversion in the box. See, it ain't enough just to get convicted. Conviction will bring you to the place where you're ready to do business. Can you imagine Mama Obed-Edom? She ain't no more looking for the country station. Not no more. She's standing and saying, there shall be showers of blessing. Amazing grace. About that time, see, you can't get around God without God getting around you. Yeah. That box began to change them. But there's more than that. That box is also a box of compassion. Because the very God of the box came to that Gentile's house and began to make love to him. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you like to have that box just for a little while down your chicken farm? Wouldn't that make a difference? Wouldn't you like it to take it to school with you? Yeah. Wouldn't you like, boy, it'd be good if God was a God that them TV preachers talked about and you could just buy a, here, have my prayer cloth. It'll help you. God ain't that way. But I'll tell you one thing, God is When you begin to seek for God, God is a God of compassion, and He'll run up to you, and He'll begin to make sweet, holy love to you. Begin to woo you and draw you to Himself. Begin to change who you are. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Boy, ain't that good. I'm so glad. I am so glad that God came to my house one day. Parked in my living room. Began to change me. Began to change my family. Oh, yes, what a difference it made. What a difference. What a difference. What it did in Obed-Edom's life. Life was never, never, life was never to be the same. But the story don't end there. Turn, if you will, chapter number 15. See, King David, for 90 days, has been getting ready. Look at verse 1 of chapter 15. David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. If David had prepared the place the first time, it never went by Obed-Edom's house. I'm so thankful. That Israel rejected him. Because he came to my house. He came to my house. Woo! Yeah, glory to God. He came to my house. Yeah, glory. Why did you shout right there? Yeah, glory. Now, David's now pitched for him a tent. He's coming back to get him. And rightfully so, he's the God of Israel. I won't have time to preach all this. They got all the singers again. Got all the procession again. Got all the trumpet players and the temple ringer. All them people got them all together again. You read chapter 13 and then you read chapter 15, there's one difference in the two chapters. All the singers are right. All the procession is the same. Everything the same except for one thing. Verse number 16. David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers and instruments of music, psalteries, harps, cymbals, sounding. Listen to this. By the lifting up the voice with joy. That's the only difference I could find in the two things outside of the preparation of the place. When you get to where you prepare God a place, when you begin to prepare God a place, it'll put joy in your heart. You can't help it. You'll begin to respond to God as God wants you to respond, and joy breaks forth out of the heart. Sure enough, with joy, lifting up the voice. That means shouting is right. That's right. It does. That means it's right. Matter of fact, if you read down there in the end of this chapter 15, you find a little verse about Michal, David's wife. You be careful. I got to where I'm careful about making fun of Pentecostals that try to worship now.
Oh, me. Yeah. That's because you've been up there on the road.
Yeah. They might be closer to God than I give them credit for, and I might offend the Holy Ghost. Michal never had, she is barren. by the hand of God for making fun of somebody and how they worshiped. And she had no joy. Boy, that'll preach in itself.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to have to make a note of that. I'm going to preach a sermon on that too. Praise God. Praise God. That'll work. Let me get to my sermon now. I'm trying to finish. Obed-Edom. 90 days. Here comes King David. Mr. Obed-Edom! Yes, sir. We come back for the box. Can you imagine what must have happened in Obed-Edom's heart? Here for 90 days, God's been there. For 90 days, everything's blessed. I mean, he couldn't do nothing wrong. Everything he turned to made money. Everything he tried was successful. Every meal was a meal of perfection. Everything. And now, Mr. Obed-Edom, we've come to take God where He belongs. I don't know about you, but I'd be about despair. Oh, no. Brother Felton, what would you do if somebody come up and said, we're glad you got saved, but we're going to come to your house. We're going to take God back. That wouldn't work. No, sir. I mean, we'd go to war. Come messing with my God. But you understand, God don't have to have me fighting for Him.
Right.
Mr. Obed-Edom, we're going to take God on down where He belongs. Thank you. Mr. Obed-Edom said, Mr. King, I understand it's not my box. Don't belong to me. I'm just a nobody. I can remember my daddy talking about it when I was over in Philistine, the land of Philistine. I remember my daddy talking about the day they brought God down there. And what happened? Why do you think I moved this direction out of Gad? I come over here looking. Mr. David, I understand you've got to take God. But Mr. David, I put the farm up for sale.
Yeah.
How much you connected to the things of this world? Mr. David, I'll put the farm up for sale. You can take God, but I'm going with God. Let's look at the Bible. David said, we got to move God. We're going to have some people to help us. You understand? Boy, howdy. You know, this is why it's so important that we have a church. Because one man can't move God like He needs to be moved. That's why God made the church. So we can handle His big work and His big God. Look at it, if you will. Levites, verse 17, appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and his brethren, Asaph, the son of Bacchai, the son of... I can't read all them names. Look at verse 18. With them their brethren, the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, Jazel, Semiroth, Jehel, Umne, Elab, Benadab. All them people, look at them, would you? And right down at the bottom, at the very end, where the Gentiles belong, Obed, Edom. To be the porters. David said, look, we're going to move this box. We need some porters. Now, they were preparers of the way. Them porters were. David said, we're going to move God. We don't want it to happen like it did last time. We've got the Levites in here. They've been sanctified and set apart. They've got the staves that belong to this thing. They're going to elevate God above them. And we're going to go. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. They've said we need some porters to go around preparing the way. We want everything out of the way. David said, I want you and you and you and you and you and you and you. About that time, Mr. King, how about me? I know I'm just a Philistine. I'm from Gath. I really don't blow. But you see, God came by my house. God's been with me. I can't stay where I'm at without God. I've got, even if you won't let me, I'm going anyway. David said, okay, you too. Mr. Obed-Edom. Mr. Obed-Edom. Boy, that was easy. Here they start. About that time, David said, whoa, wait. We need some singers. We need some people that will proclaim the greatness of God. Singers are important in church. Even if you can't sing, singing's important in church. You got a hope, boy. Yeah. Listen to it. David said, we need some singers. Look at verse number 19. So the singers, Haman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound with the cymbals of brass. Zechariah and Azel and Shemaroth and Jehiel and Uni and Elab and Messiah and Benaiah with the psalteries on Almoth. Mattaniah and Eliphaz and Micaiah and Obed-Edom. David said, we need some singers. Obed-Edom said, I don't know how to play a harp real good yet. I've just been working on it for 90 days. But about that time, get David. There he is again. Mr. David, I know I just got elected to be a porter. But you see, that box has been in my house for 90 days. God has changed my house and my heart. God has put a song in me. I know it's out of character for me to sing. I know it's not what I've been to do it. And I don't know the tune real good yet. Me. I love baby Christians. I'm serious. They have no guile. They will tramp right in to where we'd be scared to death to go and ask God for anything just because they want it with everything in them. And God in heaven will smile down at that baby and say, boy, I like that. He'll reach over and get a pile of blessing and just sprinkle it all over him. Like sugar on ice cream. Let's go on. Yeah. Verse number 22. And Shinnai, the chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. See, it takes skillful people and unskillful people. It does. Barachiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the ark. And Shebaiah, Jehoshaphat, Nathaniel, and Amasai, and Zechariah, and Benaiah, and Elzear, the priest, did blow the trumpets before the ark of God. Oh, look at that, would you? And Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark. About that time, David said, look, we got to have some caretakers for this ark. We'll be real careful with this thing. You know, I've read this. I wonder how in the world could Obed-Edom think it could be in so many different places at one time. But you understand when God moves into your house and He becomes real to you, you won't care neither. You'll try to do the impossible. And God is a God of the impossible. Yeah, glory to God. Dave said, come on, Obed. Come on, Obed. Let's go on. David and the elders of Israel, verse 25. The captains over the thousand went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. There's that word joy again. You understand, when you sell all that this world has for you and you sell out to God, you'll go down to your own house with joy and tear it apart so you can go with God. Obed-Edom with joy. I'm going with God. I'm going with God. Most of us, if we had to get rid of our house, we'd be moping around, crying, belly aching, trying to tell everybody what we gave up so we could go with God.
Yeah. Tell it.
I'd like to testify just for a minute and tell you I gave up nothing and God gave me everything. Yeah, glory to God. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Oh, yes. God's so much better than all the junk that I've got in this world. I'm looking forward to one day going with Him. He thinks enough about me. He's coming back for me. I'm telling you, God thinks about you. He's a longing for you. He wants you. Yeah, He's coming back. He said He would. Yeah, glory to God. He's coming. Let's go on. Son, this will kill you. It really will. Chapter 16. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. They offered burnt offering, sacrifice, and peace offering for God. When David made the end of the offering, the burnt offerings, and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. When you get God back where He wants to be in your life, you'll begin to bless God too. You can't help it. You won't be able to shut up about it. I'm serious. Something will happen, you whoop! I mean, you just before you know it. You can't stop it. You'll come to, and it's already done, and your reputation's ruined. There's no hope. Bless the Lord. Look at verse number 4. Then here's King David again. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record. I like this. And to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. King David said, now, we got God back. I need some volunteers. I need some thankers and praisers. I really think we ought to, you know, we got the deacons and the ushers and all. I think, Brother David, I think we ought to have a business meeting. All right, church, we're in business. Everybody in business. Everybody, we're in business meeting tonight. I think we ought to put in a new thing. We need some thankers and praisers. I need some volunteers. Everybody in favor? Raise your hand. Those poles like sign? It is so ordered. Rest of you people, get out. David said we need some thankers and praisers. Now let's read the little list again. Asaph the chief, next to him, Zechariah and Jehiel and Semaraph. Jethiel, Mattaniah, and Elab, and there he is. Nobody eat them. Can you imagine? Boy, I'd love to have been there this day. They done offered sacrifice. God's back in the tent. The glory's in there. They've offered all the sacrifices. And they're just standing around oohing and aahing about God being back where He's supposed to be. About that time, David said, we need to give some praise. We need to thank God. We need to praise God for what He is. And where He's back, He's been gone so long. We need somebody to give thanks. About that time. King David. See, it wasn't about 90 days ago. Yes. I was working down on the farm. I knew there's a God. My daddy told me that this God was over here. But I didn't know how to get to Him. I was along and I knew what I had wasn't right. But about 90 days ago down on the farm, God came by my house. He spent some time in my house. Things ain't been the same since. It's been different. Matter of fact, it was so different, I sold the farm. Boy, it's going to get rough. Hang on. I'm not even holding on to it so I can go back when I retire. As long as I'm around that box, I'm satisfied. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Boy, wouldn't that make a difference in our houses? In case y'all ain't figured it out yet, I'm a preaching on the home. What it'll take to fix your home. That's right. That is an absolute, sister, I'm telling you the truth. That is the absolute truth. If you'll put God in your house, I don't care what kind of shape it's in. I don't care what's happened. I don't care anything about all that. If you put God where He needs to be, He'll straighten her out. That's what Obed-Edom was testifying about. When you get to reveling, when you get to laying back in the presence of God, you don't care about nothing else. Why in the world would you want to pay taxes on something that's going to stay here when you die? I tell people, I don't know how it is in Georgia. I don't know how it is in Alabama. By the way, Texas is going to beat Alabama. I don't know how it is. I'm preaching again. Listen to me. I little lost them. I shouldn't have said that. God forgive me. No, I'm serious. Preacher, I'd hate to know I offended the Holy Ghost right then. Oh, God, help my tongue. I don't want to do that. I don't know how it is over here. But over in Texas, I just rent my property from the government. See, if I don't pay them taxes every year, they'll come sell it. So you're crazy if you think you own something. If you think you do, you write them a letter down at the courthouse, tell them, say, hey, you pay me. See how that floats. We'll hang on to everything in the world that we can put our hands on and let God go. Obed-Edom said, I sold the farm, I sold her all. I am interested in that box. I want to be a doorkeeper. I want to be a singer. I want to testify about it. That is my life. That box is my life. Oh, if you ever find God, it'll be your life too. You'll be like the Apostle Paul. I gave it all up. All these light afflictions. They're just nothing. You read his testimony. I've been beat with rods. I've been shipwrecked. I've been bitten with snakes. I've been this and I've been that. And it's all nothing for the excellency of the glory of God. Yeah. That's his. You'll talk crazy like that too. You go around saying, "This world is not my home. I'm what? Just a passing through." Sometimes I think we ought to pass through as quick as we can. All right, now I'm gonna close. Turn to chapter number 26. This is the importance of going with God. Don't you dare miss this. This is the climax of the whole sermon. If you miss this part, you've missed it all. You've missed it all. I'm going to start reading. Verse number 4. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shimei the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, Sachar the fourth, Daniel the fifth, Mael the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Bethuliah the eighth. For God blessed him. I need to testify to you just a minute. I ain't got nothing. I'm poor as Job's turkey. And he had to lean up against the fence to gobble. I ain't got nothing. Don't look to have nothing. If you ever hear I'm rich, you'll know I robbed a bank. I've worked hard all my life. Went to the mission field. Whole time I was on the mission field, all I did was preach and build. That's all I've ever done. It's all I know. It's hard work. My knees don't work. My shoulder hurts. I've actually put on roofs, nailed them on, packed another. Oh, my body don't want to do it no more. Now I work all day, go home and cry all night. I'm not lying to you. Lay in the bed at night hurting and aching because my body is falling apart. I don't have much of this world. But God blessed him.
Amen.
See, all you did was just read eight men and God said, for he blessed him. Brother David, the only thing I got in this world is five young'uns and seven grand-young'uns. That's it. That is it. That's all. Everything else is a debt and a liability. I'm telling the truth, Brother Carl. Everything else is a debt and a liability. The most that my kids will fight over when I die is a few old sorry books. I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live. I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I close my eyes to rest, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. For God blessed him. My kids are saved. I call my preacher, my kids preacher all the time. My boys go to church up in Kentucky. I'll call the preacher up there. If one of them was a member here, I'd call you. And I'd tell you over and over. They get Brother Durbin gets tired of me calling him. About once a week, I'm going to call him. And I'm going to say, Brother Durbin, you've got my kids. You've got my grandkids in your church. You preach. You preach. Don't you let my kids go to hell. Don't you let my grand. And if you need help, call me. Because that's all I got. The rest of it will burn. The rest of it will burn. The rest of it will burn. Obed-Edom said, I'm blessed. No, it didn't quit there. Next verse, 6. And unto Shimei his son were born, sons born, that ruled throughout the house of their father. For they were mighty men of valor. The sons of Shimei, Othni, Raphael, Obed. Boy, I'm longing for the day when one of my boys called me and said, they called me Pappy. Said, Pappy, we named our boy Stephen Monroe Lindsay after you. Yes, sir. Hadn't happened yet. I got sorry kids. But don't you know Obed thought mighty high of Mr. Little Obed here? And Elzabad, whose brethren were strong men. This is the kids now. Elihu and Shemathiah. All these the sons of Obed-Edom. They and their sons and their brethren, able men for strength for the service, were 62 of Obed-Edom. Every Sunday, Obed-Edom said, I'm going down to church to get it ready. I'm going to have church a little while. I'm going down to get it ready. I'm a doorkeeper. I'm a porter. Go down there and tune up my harp. Dong, 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 dong. I'm getting ready for church. We're going to have church. He'd go down on Saturday night and say, we're going to have church in the morning. I'm just getting ready. I'm sorry, church members hide in the pews and scare the preacher on Saturday night. They're devils. Yeah. I'll be down here tuning up, getting ready. Yeah. We're going to have church in the morning. That's the way old Bet Edom was. Sunday morning, he'd wake up and say, all right, kids, we're going to church. Don't you know they had a car? 62 men. Can you imagine? Brother Felton, could you imagine you had 8 kids? And God bless your heart, sister. Could you imagine you had 62 kids, great kid, great great grandkid, all them? That'd be his whole section. Boys, we're going to be at church in the morning. We're going to have a vote. We're going to be on the preacher's side. Can you imagine what it had been if Obed-Edom had said, Mr. David, we've enjoyed God being at our house for 90 days and we're going to miss him. Hate for you to take him, but I can't sell the farm. Bible says they was mighty men. Men of valor. In the service. They was down there with Paul getting ready for church on Saturday night. They'd get up in the altar. Oh, God, we just love it in here where your presence is. God, we don't know what we'd do if you didn't come. God, we're expecting you to be here with us tomorrow. I'm through preaching.